This past fall semester, I took a Hebrew Bible course in seminary, and during our intensives in the last week of January, we took a field trip to the Art Institute of Chicago. I had always told myself I don't like art museums. They're boring and stuffy, and I'm not really smart enough to understand all of that art anyway. But that was just a story I told myself. I never actually went to an art museum. I just pretend I don't like them. We were given an assignment by our professor to find a piece of art that would inspire a sermon on the Hebrew Bible. When it comes to school, I'm a no-nonsense, highly grade-motivated student, so I went on a mission to find a painting of Moses parting the seas, or God smiting something from above, or something like that, anyway. As I was walking through the museum, my former aversion of art quickly began to fade when I walked into a room full of paintings by Renoir, the way the colors mix together so that you see one image when you're very close and another image when you're further away, really mesmerized me. So I began to get more curious. Perhaps this beautiful piece of art by Renoir could be my inspiration for my Hebrew Bible sermon, but it wasn't really biblical. So I moved on. Then, as I was walking through a hall of statues, I came across this most beautiful and vulnerable statue that was simply captivating. The statue is of a young woman who seems to be ashamed of something. She is naked and covering herself with her arms, so my first thought is that she is ashamed of her body. I spent some time with her, observing and absorbing her sadness. And then I looked for the statue's description. Ironically enough, the statue was called Eve, after the fall. It was a statue sculpted by artist August Rodin in 1886. After doing some of my own research, I found that in 1928, poet Rainer Maria Rilke said about Eve that from a distance, she seems to be enfolded in her arms, with her hands turned to the outside, as if to push away everything, even her own changing body. Scholar and critic Hans de Roos describes that Eve's body shows a gentle S-curve, with the arms crossed over the breast and a downcast head. Her protective attitude expresses her shame and remorse after the fall. He goes on to say that in Rodin's work, Eve does not appear as the originator of human sin, as a representation of evil. Rather, she represents the frailty of the human condition, exposed to threats and seduction. Take a look at Eve. She looks lonely, solemn, sad, vulnerable. And the great patriarchy that the Bible is might lead one to believe that it is Eve's fault, the idea of original sin. That even though she was tempted by the serpent, which we all know God put there on purpose, and she seduced Adam into eating the fruit, the apple, or the fig, whatever it was, that this idea of humans being born as sinners is completely Eve's fault. All of this grief and guilt resting on this young, innocent woman's shoulders. I'd like to invite my readers to come forward.
The snake was sneakier than any of the other wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day it came to the woman and asked,
"Did God tell you not to eat fruit from any tree in the garden?"
The woman answered,
"God said we could eat fruit from any tree in the garden except the one in the very middle. He told us not to eat the fruit from that tree or even to touch it. For if we do, we will die."
No, you won't.
The snake replied,
God understands what will happen on the day you eat the fruit from that tree. You will see what you have done, and you will know the difference between right and wrong, just as God does.
The woman stared at the fruit. It looked beautiful and tasty. She wanted the wisdom that it would give her, and she ate some of the fruit. Her husband was there with her, so she gave some to him, and he ate it too. Right away, they saw what they had done, and they realized they were naked. Then they sewed fig leaves together to make something to cover themselves. The Lord God asked Adam,
Did you eat any fruit from that tree in the middle of the garden?
It was the woman you put here with me,
the man said.
She gave me some fruit and I ate it.
The Lord God then asked the woman,
What have you done?
That snake tricked me,
she answered.
I ate some of that fruit because of him.
And then the Lord said to the woman,
You will suffer terribly when you give birth, but you will still desire your husband, and he will rule over you.
So the first ideas of body shaming come from this passage. When Eve and Adam saw they were naked, they covered themselves. They sewed fig leaves together. Take just a moment to consider your own heart. When have you been shamed by another person or group of people for your clothing or your body? I have always been a plus-size woman. There has not been a time in my life that I have fallen into the cultural norm body size. Society has never accepted my body, and for so long, neither did I. I have worked very hard over the past few years to change the shape of my body because I was convinced that the way I looked was not acceptable. Women are judged based on a number of things, most obviously on the actual size and shape of their bodies, but we are also judged on our hair, the style and the color, our choice of clothing, our choice of shoes, our choice of accessories. We are judged on whether or not there's a gap between our thighs. And folks, we are judged by the size of the pores in our face. They could be too big. Who knew? Though this is just a very short list of how women are scrutinized in public and in their own homes by their family or themselves, it is a reality for women every single day. While women do face an exorbitant amount of judgment in society, it is also important that we recognize that men also go through image struggles of their own. I won't say they are similar, because they are not, but they are real. Responding to the question, for the purpose of sharing in this sermon, what is your male experience of body shaming? A fellow seminarian said, the shame is much more emotional. Anything that could be interpreted as weakness is shunned. Emotionality, compassion, and tenderness are all bad. One of my younger gay friends said, where do I even start? A middle-aged, cisgendered friend said, if you include looks, glasses, physicality, agility, weight, and height, the parts of body shaming, it starts early and is nonstop. And one of my friends who is transitioning from a female to a male said, as a trans female to male person, there is huge pressure from both sides. Social pressure of never being that femme girl, of hating parts of the body that you were born with. No matter how hard you have to work, you will never be able to get that six-pack of abs. And who defines body image? Because I can tell you that buff is the desire, not the 50-year-old beer gut. Pressure. Lots of pressure, he says, from all directions, and there is media everywhere. We must also not forget those who do not identify as fitting into the socio-normative gender identities of female or male. Whoever you are, However you identify with your body, we each have struggles to bear, struggles that can unite us as broken humans. Part of how we relate to each other is through our brokenness, because we all share some kind of brokenness, whether in our bodies or in our hearts. Let's take a look back at Eve. She is withdrawn. She is ashamed. She is alone. She feels the same feelings of vulnerability and brokenness that we all do at times. I'd like to take this moment to reintroduce you to Eve from a female perspective in the form of a poem.
Autobiography of Eve by Ansel Elkins. Wearing nothing but snakeskin boots, I blazed a footpath, the first radical road out of that old kingdom toward a new unknown. When I came to those great flaming gates of burning gold, I stood alone in terror at the threshold between paradise and earth. There I heard a mysterious echo, my own voice, singing to me from across the forbidden side. I shook awake, at once alive in a blaze of green fire. Let it be known, I did not fall from grace. I leapt to freedom.
While I want to place importance on the fact that this poem is written by a woman, it is not beyond my knowledge to know there are plenty of forward-thinking men in our community and the wider world. But this description of Eve, of her liberation, is so important, and the fact that it is written by a woman makes it even more powerful for myself. I blazed a footpath, Elkins writes, the first radical road out of that old kingdom toward a new unknown. I have been working as a facilitator on high ropes challenge courses for 15 years. Think about zip lines or a steel cable that is 1 inch in diameter elevated 50 feet in the air. For the first 10 years, I was only belay certified, which is the lowest certification, because I was simply terrified to climb. You see, the course participants' climb is 50 feet in the air, but facilitators must be able to climb 65 feet straight up a telephone pole to inspect equipment regularly. For years, I would go to certifications to test up to a higher level, but you see, we had this really rickety old 20-foot ladder that we had to climb to the top before we could even clip into the safety equipment. And by the time I got to the top of the ladder, I was just too scared to continue on. For years, I did this. I climbed to the top of that ladder and then gave in to my fear and climbed back down. And then 1 year, it was time for the certification, and I said to myself, I am going to climb the ladder and not stop. Today, I am a master rescue certified. That means I can safely rescue any climber, whether they are conscious or unconscious, from the course, and I can train others to do the same. I was terrified on top of the ladder, not knowing how I would make it up the rest of the way. What if my safety equipment slipped and I fell? What if I made the wrong choice on the course and hurt myself or someone else? But like Elkin says in the poem, there at the threshold of the unknown, I heard a mysterious echo, my own voice singing to me from across the forbidden side. I shook awake, at once alive. So I continued climbing. Voice still and small, deep inside all, I hear you call, singing. I stood alone in terror at the threshold between paradise and earth. Let it be known, Elkins writes, I did not fall from grace, but I leapt to freedom. Eve was terrified of all of the uncertainties, but still she ventured out.
If we do not venture out, by Marnie Harmony, adapted. If on a starlit night, with the moon brightly shimmering, we stay inside and do not venture out, the evening universe remains a part of life that we shall not know. If on a cloudy day, with grayness infusing all and rain dancing rivers in the grass, we stay inside and do not venture out, the stormy, threatening energy of the universe remains a part of life we shall not know. If, on a frosty morning, dreading the chilling air before the sunrise, we stay inside and do not venture out, the awesome cold, quiet, and stillness of the dawn universe remains a part of life we shall not know. If, throughout these grace-given days of ours, surrounded as we are by green life and brown death, hot pink joy and cold gray pain, and miracles, always miracles, if we stay inside ourselves and do not venture out, then the fullness of the universe shall be unknown to us, and our locked hearts shall never feel the rush of worship.
Eve. She is inside each of us, both the statue of Eve and the liberated Eve. And for me, she comes in the form of pockets in dresses. You see, until very recently, pockets have not been built into dresses with any type of regularity. In fact, over the centuries, women's clothing did contain pockets in the discreet form of wearable pouches. But around the 1800s, the trend for women's clothing turned much sleeker, modeled after ancient Greek goddesses, and internal pockets were cut out of the designs, forcing women to carry bags or purses. How many of you have purses with you? Raise your hand, if you will. Who thinks their purse has too much stuff in it? Would you sometimes like to go places without having to carry that bag? Yeah. I love purses. I really do. In fact, I really love colorful purses that have lots of storage capacity because I need to carry all of the stuff. So for example, I have my calendar, which I know is huge. I have a textbook from school, The History of Christianity. I have a tablet. I have some really broken up crackers I think I put in there in case I needed to eat something, but they've been in there so long that, well, that's a thing. I have a tape measure, though I don't know why. And I have a handful of lipsticks that I always forget to wear, and it looks like a random deck of playing cards. All the things. But sometimes I want to go somewhere without having to carry my purse. The problem I encounter often is that because I wear dresses about 80% of the time, I do not always have the option of going without a bag. For most of my life, I was most comfortable in jeans because I thought they hid all of the worst things about my body from the world. Today and over the past years, I have grown to be more comfortable with my body. I find myself wearing dresses because they make me feel feminine and confident. Wearing dresses makes me feel like the best version of myself. But whether you are a woman or a man or don't identify with either gender, ultimately, it seems like that liberation of Eve's decision to eat the fruit, to leap to freedom, comes down to choice. Each person must have the choice to be freely who they want to be. Men should have the choice to be tender and compassionate or strong and stoic. Women should have the choice to be who they want and dress how they like, dresses or trousers. I believe that pockets and dresses have begun to liberate the world, both of women and of men. By giving women this type of freedom, the kind of liberation that comes in a dress pocket, we encourage her to step out on her own, to leave the bag of burdens behind her. The freedom of choice can liberate both women of men, women and men. The freedom of choice invites us into a place of independence. Pockets give me choices, and those choices lead to confidence and liberation in my own heart and mind. We must not think of Eve as the one who is responsible for all of human sin, but rather the Eve who takes her chances and leaps to freedom. Pockets invite us out into the world to leap to freedom just as Eve did. How will you venture out? How will you allow yourself to feel the rush of life? Venture out. Take, if but a tiny taste, of that freedom that choice gives you. Allow yourself to fully experience all that life has shown you. Extend yourself. Venture out. Choose the leap of freedom. Liberate yourselves from the fear you have of the unknown and allow the journey to take your hand and gently guide you down the road. Eve ventured out. Eve chose to find out what was behind the power of the fruit. She took the liberation it offered and ran with it. When will you liberate your inner Eve and make the decision to leap to freedom? Blessed be. Shalom and Amen.